Ridge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House Ethics Committee was to release its findings shortly in an investigation into Florida Governor Matt Gaetz, who was being looked into for allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. That investigation has now been dropped now that Gaetz has resigned and President-elect Donald Trump has picked him to be Attorney General. As for number two at the DOJ,
sources are telling us that President-elect Donald Trump is considering tapping his top defense attorney, Todd Blanche, to be the Deputy Attorney General. This is the second highest position in the Justice Department. Blanche was on his defense teams for that hush money trial there in New York City, as well as the federal investigations here in Washington.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. This just in, the satirical news publication The Onion has won the bidding for Alex Jones's InfoWars at a bankruptcy auction. No price given. Jones, a conspiracy theorist talk show host, was ordered to pay the families of Sandy Hook massacre more than $1 billion in defamation judgments for calling the shooting a hoax. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has released the 2023 annual report for the state's crime labs. According to the report, Wisconsin has seen an increase in cases involving fentanyl, and the crime labs have struggled to produce fast turnaround times on evidence. Along with the report, Attorney General Call said the upcoming state budget must include more funding for crime labs in order to increase staffing and decrease the time it takes to process evidence. The report also noted a new Southeast Region crime lab is on track to open in 2026. As Wisconsin's gun deer hunting season approaches, the Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to practice proper safety. The gun deer season will run from November 23rd to December 1st, and hunters should remember to follow all regulations and the Tab K rules for firearm safety. The Tab K rules remind hunters to treat every firearm as if it's loaded, always point the muzzle in a safe direction, be certain of your target and what's in front of and behind it, and always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. The city of Duluth is looking for a new city administrator as current administrator David Montgomery prepares to retire again. Montgomery has served in the position on an interim basis during Mayor Roger Reinhart's tenure. He had previously served in the position for 9 years under former mayors Don Ness and Emily Larson. City officials say the search for a new long-term city administrator will begin at the start of the new year. In a statement, Mayor Reinhart also thanked Montgomery for being willing to help out in the position temporarily. A Duluth man has been sentenced to prison for his involvement in a stabbing and assault incident in 2023. According to court documents, 24-year-old Tristan St. Clair was sentenced to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to charges of attempted second-degree murder. The incident occurred in January of 2023 when Tristan and Dustin St. Clair entered a West Arrowhead Road home without permission and assaulted three people, stabbing two of them. When they attempted to flee, their car got stuck in a deep snowbank in the driveway. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's Packers and Bears week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice getting ready for the Bears in Chicago Sunday. Even though the Packers have beat the Bears 10 times in a row, I asked Jordan Love if there's still a rivalry.
Definitely. No, we know the history of the game, and it's definitely, you know, I think it's special to be a part of it. A rivalry that's been going on, the oldest rivalry in football.
In Chicago, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus fired his offensive coordinator.
In the past 48 hours, working through some things and obviously released Shane Waldron. What I'm looking for the offense is creativity, working the guys into open positions on the field. And that takes creativity, but it takes everybody.
Pass coordinator Thomas Brown promoted to offensive play caller. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-120 win in overtime against the Pistons. Damian Lillard out with a concussion. Giannis with 59 points.
Not only did Giannis have to score, he actually had to be a point guard as well.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of 49 this afternoon. The wind will be light out of the north. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 50. We'll have clouds and a few sprinkles as we head into Saturday, Sunday with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s both days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media's own Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, joins us at 11:06. All things sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And as promised, I am so thrilled and honored to have just a really good friend, and former guest who's been a part of wherever I've been in radio, and I deserve a beating for not having him on more. But we're going to rectify that starting today. Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So before we get started, this is a different audience, Professor Harvey, and they need to know exactly who I'm talking to. Let's talk a little bit about your background.
Well, you know, I off and on, I taught at the collegiate level American history and African-American history for over 40 years. I taught at four different institutions. The first was North Carolina Central University here in Durham, North Carolina. And then I did that for 8 years. And then I taught at UW La Crosse in the Minority Studies Institute for 2 years. Did extensive graduate work at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And then I went ahead, I ended up going to Milwaukee, moving there. And I taught in the Department of Africology for 3 years as a part-time instructor. And then around 2006, I started teaching it at MATC in their history department, teaching American history, minority studies, and African American history. And I taught there until I retired in 2013.
You are also a military veteran.
Yeah, I spent 12 years in the United States Army Reserves as a military instructor. When I graduated from basic training, I had a choice. Well, when I went into basic training, I turned 35 while I was going through basic training, and I ended up volunteering to go to the infantry school and go engage in that intense course down at Fort Benning and train there for 13 weeks doing basic and AIT. And then I graduated from there, and then I became a light infantry instructor instructor at the 84th Division in Silver Springs in Milwaukee for 12 years, and I rose to the rank of Sergeant First Class. I spent 6 years in the Leadership Academy as a drill sergeant, and I left there in 1994. So, you know, my main job was in teaching basic light infantry weapons and tactics. That's what I did for 12 years.
So Professor Harvey, it, more than all of those different things that you have done, the one thing that I know for certain is you do research, and you have researched what took place in this last election. Let's talk a little bit about what took place.
Well, I had a crash course in it, you know, because for me, pretty much when Kamala Harris accepted the nomination for the Democratic Party in July, I talked to my wife and my daughter. Both of them are astute scholars in their own right, and they were all excited. But I simply told them she was not going to win, despite the fact that she was more qualified, just like Hillary Clinton 2016. She was more qualified than Donald Trump. But the bottom line is that she was not going to win. I said the only way that Kamala Harris could win is that she had to get anywhere between 53% to 55% of the white female vote, and she would have to get at least 65% of the Latino vote. And it is in that area that she failed miserably, because in the final analysis, white females, 53% of them ended up going for Donald Trump. And then, of course, Latinos, which was a big surprise, 48% of Latinos. Now, I realize they're a diverse group, but 48% ended up going for Donald Trump. And right there is where she got blindsided in the election. Now, the most loyal group that voted for her in any significant numbers were African-American women. They voted, about 93% voted for Kamala Harris. Black men failed miserably in looking at their numbers. They either didn't show up at the polls, or when you look at their numbers, for African-Americans, roughly, you know, about 25% of African-American males voted for Donald Trump. And when you look at the difference between what the numbers in 2024 and 2020, there was about a six million vote difference. More people voted in the 2020 election than they did in the 2024 election. So that meant that a lot of folks just stayed home, Earl. They didn't show up at the polls. They just did not show up. And that explains what, because you have a hard time trying to explain why she lost every single, state. You know, that was heavily contested that she needed to win the election. She lost all of them.
Let me, Professor,
you know, and
go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish your point, Professor Harvey.
So, doing that, there are several things that cause this to go down. One, America as a whole has a problem with race. It was not as overt as the other one, and the other is sex. Women have had two chances, 2016 and 2024, to elect a woman. The United States has never had a woman president, never. And yet, while we lambast other cultures, especially a lot of the Muslim cultures, for their Sharia law, you know,
right,
oppressing women, we are more just as guilty, if not more so, because we're the hypocrites. We can't even elect a woman as president of the United States. Can't even do it. And except for Nancy Pelosi, who is the most lambasted, you know, Speaker of the House in history, according to Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, we've only had one woman, female Speaker of the House. And look at what they've done to her.
So
she was an exceptional Speaker of the House. You know, so We have a problem with sex in this country. Sexism and racism were two major issues that prevented Kamala Harris from becoming the 47th president of the United States.
So if you are just joining us, I'm joined by Professor Bob Harvey, good friend all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Professor Harvey, what you are saying flies in the face of everything else we're hearing. Donald Trump won because of the economy.
The economy, because, see, this is the other thing. American people, besides being recalcitrant or angry about something, a lot of them are just angry. They don't know what it's about, but they're angry. And they figure that going with Donald Trump is going to make them feel better. Or they're angry that a woman of color, is going to run to be the president of the United States. All those things drive up their anger. But, the one thing that they don't seem to understand is that the American economy is still the strongest and best in the world. And what they got to understand is that while Biden was in office, he had 4 years to undo the damage that Donald Trump has done. They don't seem to understand that tariffs on China and tariffs everywhere else that Donald Trump imposed them, it has a crippling effect on our economy, because the business people in this country that get those goods from those tariff-ridden countries, they're going to pass that cost on to the consumer. Now, we got Christmas coming up. I challenge everybody, whether you were MAGA or whether you voted for Trump or you voted for Kamala or anybody else, to look under the Christmas tree or to go. You don't have to look under the Christmas tree. Go to the stores. Go to the stores, all of them, including Kmart that's on its way out. Go to the stores and look on the shelf and look at on the bottom of it and see where them goods are made.
Right.
Just see where they're made. They're made in China. So if you're going to slap tariffs on China, keep in mind that America's economy is largely based on foreign goods. And our business people, what they did in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s to keep from having to pay high wages to American workers, they simply closed up shop and moved them jobs overseas. And what people don't realize, those people who believe in a strong military like I do, we spend billions, almost $1 trillion, every year, making and sending out new warships to get out to the oceans to keep those lanes open so we can protect the shipping goods that are being exported and imported to the United States. We keep those shipping lanes open. Even though the Red Sea area is being contested now by the Houthis and others in the Red Sea and also in the area around the Arabian Sea, we still, in the Indian Ocean, American carrier groups keep those lanes open. You know, we have about 10 of those super aircraft carriers out there, and they have about 8 or 9 ships surrounding them, trillions of dollars worth of equipment out there to keep the shipping lanes open.
So Professor Harvey, hang on. You know, Professor Bob Harvey is my guest. Up next, the butt-naked truth. I'll say it again, the butt-naked truth on what happened with this past election, the truth about what really happened with Professor Bob Harvey on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by the one and only Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Professor Harvey, the things you are saying fly in the face of all the information that is being disseminated now. The Democrats lost because of culture wars. They have decided to get in bed with the wrong people, and they must change the trajectory of who they're supporting, and they must do all these other things in order to bring especially rural people. You live in North Carolina. Many rural people there, and who I'm sure many who voted for Donald Trump. But to say that the Democratic Party needs to change their focus and move more to the right to appease people in rural areas in order to get their votes back, you say what to that?
Well, first of all, from a historical perspective, that's really a wasted effort trying to go after that population, because that population is shrinking. More and more of our rural communities are changing. I'm living right down here now in the heart of it. I live in Union County, which was a crucial county that, when you look at the small communities that are there, we live outside of Charlotte. Charlotte is Mecklenburg County. But Union County, you're finding, you're going to the small towns like Stallings and Indian Trails, which is where I live, and you look at these communities, Monroe and some of these other communities, there's a growing number of African Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans. Latinos are everywhere. You know, and their populations are increasing. Not only that, but many of these rural communities are now turning into suburbs, Earl. We live in the state out here. And that's when I decided to use my last VA loan to get a home out here. I chose this region. At least my wife and daughter did it, and I just gave the final approval. But I was surprised to find such a diverse community out here. And so, you know, the sad thing about it is they're chasing after, if they're doing that, changing that strategy, they're chasing after, you know, an elusive but diehard, a MAGA movement. Because those people are angry about something. Part of the reason they're angry is because their way of life is changing. They don't mind the new roads coming out here. They're talking about bringing light rail out here so their homes are going to shoot through the roof in terms of value. But they don't want the population to come with it. We're finding whole communities down here, Earl, where the streets have been widened. Their lands have been given up through eminent domain. It's a big fight out here. And all that used to be rural land. At one time, it was farmland. And as you go through these communities, they have names like Indian Trails and others named after Native Americans who long since gone and been pushed out. And now they moved into these rural areas in the 40s and 50s, that white flight. And then, of course, behind that came the urban flight of black folk or well-off black folk moving out into these estates to get away from Charlotte and the Mecklenburg County area. And it's a chase. And you see it up there in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a classic example of a city where you got all these communities around it where people fled away from there, but they still have to cling to Charlotte for life.
Right.
So the rural community that they're chasing after, Earl, is an elusive group that's a dying breed. And it has nothing to do necessarily with race. It's just that's the way it is. American farmland is shrinking. This used to be all farmland out here. My son is in real estate, and he talks about how a lot of the people that he meets right now to try to buy up land to put new housing in or to bring in commercial development, he's finding out that a lot of those people got land that they inherited from their families.
Right.
And they no longer want to hang on to it. The kids want to sell it. So he has to put together package deals with families so they can sell that land. They're selling the farmland, Earl. And all that they don't sell, the city or the state is taking it over through eminent domain, taking over their yards and everything else to build a major road coming through because of the new population that's coming out.
Hey, Professor Harvey, that's the exact same thing that happened to blacks who lived in the South in Mississippi and Alabama and Arkansas, whose grandparents had a little piece of land that they left to the children and grandchildren because they knew the value and the importance of the land, and the children turned around and sold it.
Yes, that's what's happening with whites now, too. They're doing it now, too. So, and I know what they're talking about. They're talking about chasing after that rural white American, and I'm just saying that number is shrinking. And are they angry? You darn right they're angry. They're angry with the higher taxes, with the imposition of government coming in. But it's not the federal government that's coming in and taking over. It's the state and city and county governments that's imposing on them.
And Professor Harvey, well, then how do they get from there to the Democrats did this to them? And Donald Trump is going to be their savior. Hang on. Hold the thought. Professor Bob Harvey is on the line. Your thoughts, 855-752-4842. We're going to continue that with Professor Bob Harvey.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced $1 million in available grant funding to train and recruit more teachers. In a press release on Wednesday, Governor Evers announced the grants would cover 2 years of program costs for nonprofits to recruit, train, and license teachers under Department of Public Instruction guidelines. The grant program is meant to help address a shortage of teachers across the state as public school districts struggle with funding issues. Applications for the funding must be submitted by December 16th. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding residents to protect themselves against respiratory viruses during the holiday season. As temperatures drop and people spend more time inside, cases of viruses like the flu and COVID-19 are beginning to rise. The DHS and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are urging residents to get their flu, COVID-19, and RSV vaccines to prevent themselves from getting sick and curb the spread of the viruses. Residents should speak with their healthcare providers to get vaccinated. St. Louis County Public Works and the Minnesota Department of Transportation held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Wednesday to celebrate the end of their bridge bundling project. Over the last 3 years, DOT and Public Works crews have replaced 21 bridges throughout St. Louis and Carlton counties. Officials say because they bundled the projects into a single contract, they likely saved around 10 to 15% of the potential cost of the replacements. The agencies secured over $25 million in federal, state, and local funding for the projects. The St. Louis County landfill will now be able to generate energy from garbage thanks to a new 10-acre geothermal field. On Tuesday, county officials held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the field in the Virginia landfill, which seeks to capture the heat of decomposing garbage and convert it to energy. According to county officials, the energy produced by the geothermal field will power a future wastewater plant, and the $33,000 put into the field will pay for itself within a year of operation by providing energy to the plant. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to films opening wide this weekend, it's a bit quiet, sort of like the calm before the storm. All eyes are on next week's openers, which will showcase Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked, which is Wicked, and Gladiator 2. But there is one film opening wide this week, and it follows a new trend of badass Santa movies. Red One stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and the awesome Bonnie Hunt. Johnson plays the head of security at the North Pole and teams up with bounty hunter Evans to find Santa Claus, who has been kidnapped. It's usually an inside job. The first suspect would be Mrs. Claus. Red One is getting less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that stop you. It looks like pure holiday fun, and at PG-13, it's fun for the whole family. The Bruce Willis film, The Fifth Element, is getting a re-release this weekend, but in a limited capacity. The film is from 1997 and also stars Ian Holm, Gary Oldman, and Chris Tucker. If you feel like staying home, new movies to stream include Megalopolis, Saturday Night, or Michael Keaton's Goodrich. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of 49 this afternoon. The wind will be light out of the north. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 50. We'll have clouds and a few sprinkles as we head into Saturday, Sunday with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s both days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Shannon Simon from Cedar Crest Ice Cream, who will help us make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Susan Kaya Schlusser from the Wisconsin Historical Society joins me, followed by filmmaker Nathan Deming.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Say,
somebody so that the dancer just won't hide.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Professor Harvey, as you've been outlining what really took place with this vote and the fact that, you know, Donald Trump was able to just about every county in the state of Wisconsin, red, and in many parts across this country, clearly rural people spoke out and supported Donald Trump. And then, so Professor Harvey, when you listen to what Donald Trump and see what it is he's doing now, for heaven's sakes, Professor Harvey, just yesterday, Donald Trump suggested reparations for white people. Now, let me begin by saying there was a constant griping saying Kamala Harris supported reparations for black people. And I heard this many times from whites. Well, she's supporting reparations for black people. And here Donald Trump steps up before the world and says, I'm supporting reparations for white people who've been discriminated against because of, universities and admittance. And so I want to make sure if they've been discriminated against, they receive reparations. Professor Harvey, you spent all this time in universities. How many decades or centuries did black people not get a chance to go to universities? And yet, if it was a mention of reparations for them, the nation would have been outraged. This is what we're talking about. This is what we have to deal with.
Well, when you look at the history of black communities out in Oklahoma and Florida and all over the South and Southwest, most of those communities, black communities, sprung up after the Civil War. And though they were promised by Thaddeus Stevens, a congressman from Pennsylvania, and Charles Sumner, a senator from Massachusetts, they were the ones pushing the idea of 40 acres and a mule, because black people had the agricultural background, and that thing was that if we give them, they know the land, they know agriculture, give them 40 acres and a mule, and they can support themselves, and they won't have to rely on the federal government. And, of course, that didn't pan out. It enraged Southern whites. And, of course, when blacks start moving out west, with Pabst Singleton and others, and by 1869 and onward, they met all types of hostilities there. So the sad thing about it is that the reparations that we set aside, that we're talking about for black folk, at every turn it was blocked either by the federal government or by the local governments in the states or territories that they were in. So they never got a chance to even get on the reparations track. The people that talk about it now, and this is what I believe. I believe strongly in the idea that if a lot of the discriminatory policies that face African Americans every day at the federal, state, city, and county level, if they would remove some of those barriers, then African Americans wouldn't need no handouts. And my thing is, even if they did do reparations, Earl, it shouldn't be in the form of just giving out money. It should be in the form of programs like, education, and I don't mean just going to four-year colleges. I'm talking about a lot of them could go to community college or trade school, learn trades and crafts. The other one would be for business development. And the other would could be for setting up, you know, loans so they could get it, because a lot of black businesses falter because they don't have the finances with loans. You know, working for the city of Milwaukee all of those years as a staff assistant, especially with the Zoning Neighbors and Development Committee, I had a chance firsthand to see why it is that black businesses don't make it. I mean, they struggle, and everywhere they've had black communities, like Chocolate City and some of the others that were historic. And do you realize that at one time, many of your black businesses were right downtown, down around Plankton and all in that area. But they were eventually forced out through zoning codes and everything else, and they just didn't have the financial packages to stay. So even if they set up reparations early, it wouldn't go anywhere. As far as trying to cater to white America, their reparations are already implanted and in place. And that's why most of your wealth in this country is owned by white men. And it's unfortunate that a lot of poor whites are left with nothing. I understand why they're angry. Believe me, I do. I can see why they're angry from a historical perspective and from a cultural one. I understand why they're angry. And what Donald Trump, a multimillionaire, has tapped into is that anger and that promise that they're going to get something. They didn't get anything from 2017 until he left office in 2021. And you know what, Errol? At the end of this administration, when it finally ends from 2025 to 2029, guess what? They're going to be in the same position they were before. The only two groups that have received reparations in their history because they were so blatant.
The Japanese
Americans in right. 1948, when we gave them all the money because we took land away from them and put them in those internment camps held there were concentration camps. They just didn't have the ovens to bake them in. And then, of course, Native Americans. They have received some concessions down the road as well, but not to the scale that they should, because we had over 300 treaties between the federal government and Native Americans, and damn it, we broke every one of them from 1796 all the way over to the present. So, you know, the reparations we give them are economic plans that have them locked away on reservations while we take up all the good land that they have. So the reparations is something, if we were to give it to African Americans, that'd be a wholesale race war that occurred in this country.
Professor Harvey.
Promising them that, but they're not going to get it.
But again, the fact that he would say that, you know, and feel comfortable saying it, and the fact that Professor Harvey. They are outraged about DEI. I mean, I have on a woke hat this morning. I wear my woke hat because part of what Donald Trump and others are saying is, you know, this nation is upset, white America is upset because many of them have lost positions because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And enough of that already. This is not fair. This is not right. This is not just. You know, you shouldn't do that. But they totally dismiss centuries of policies that punish people for no other reason other than their color. And so Donald Trump comes along and openly says, I was listening today to a conservative show that talked about the reason they want to put this lunatic in charge of the military and make him the Secretary of Defense is because he wrote a book about DEI and how we need to clean out the military with all the DEI stuff, you know, as if everybody in the military who's reached any rank has gotten there because of DEI.
But what ticked him off is when he looked up and saw the 4-star black general.
Yep.
and of course the Secretary of the Department of Defense, two black persons up there. That, you know, put in there by a Democratic president. And of course, you know, there was a little of the consternation, but it was quietly kept when Bush put in Colin Powell. You know, so there is a precedent there, but the thing is, that's just ticked them off. Donald Trump tried it, but he ran into some generals that were not going to succumb to his need, so he's going to try to break the back of that whole thing and remove what the senator from Alabama, who held up a lot of those appointments, the senior staff,
right,
to disrupt that process. Tuberville.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, you have this consternation wanting to destroy traditional institutions, but Donald Trump's main core, despite the fact that all of these people of color, because these people of color are only 48% Latino and the 39% Asian and the 25% African-American. Look at those contested states, Earl. Look at them. All of those states that required something, they had to win before they could get that 270. Every one of those contested states, they were close races. No more than 20 or 30 or 40,000 people making a difference. When you look at those numbers, in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona, and in each one of those contested states, if just three of them, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, if just three of those go for Kamala Harris, she wins the nomination. Even if she loses the popular vote. And yet, the sad thing about it is that we can sit here and blame those rural whites. We can blame Donald Trump for pushing his racist ideologies and his divisive rhetoric. The simple fact is that black folk, mainly black men, Latinos, and white women did not come through. They underperformed. And in the case of white women, most of them went ahead and they voted for Donald Trump. That's where your difference is.
Professor Bob Harvey is on the line. We're going to continue the conversation. 855-752-4842. Your thoughts on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay. Eyezervay
or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
It's time to go back to the 70s now. Back to those LTD days. I used to have hair back in the 70s. Wow. See, you remember this one from the 70s right here? Hold it on. Very hard to do with her. That's
all right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My guest is Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. Professor Harvey, you crunch numbers. You've been doing that for a long time, and nobody does it better. The numbers tell the true story. And it doesn't matter how many different times or ways they want to try to change those numbers. Another thing, Professor Harvey, that hurt Kamala Harris was the fact that, and I talked with young Palestinians and some Muslims who chose across this nation, especially in Michigan, not to vote at all because of what's going on in Gaza. And I don't know how many those numbers were, but you add them to the rest of the equation, Professor Harvey, and they had a profound impact on the outcome.
Sure. When you take a look at, like I said, Michigan, in Michigan alone, I mean, God, you got 2.8 million against 2.7, and there were roughly about 400,000 Palestinians. Not all of them were eligible, but at least even if it was 10,000 or 40,000, it made a difference. But the same thing is true for Latinos. You had a large Puerto Rican population there, and with them, between them, and there were roughly about 400,000 of them, and yet they didn't show up like they were supposed to. But in and around Detroit and Lansing and other places, you had large black populations. You add those numbers up, and it comes out to enough to carry Michigan. Wisconsin would have been a little tricky, but they could have easily carried North Carolina. Because in North Carolina, it was 2.8 being against 2.6. There's about 180 million vote difference. Right there alone, in the African Americans in Mecklenburg County, in Durham County, in Guilford County, or Forsyth County, where Winston-Salem is, even up in Asheville, up in that region, and then in Wake County, down near Raleigh, where the state capital is. Those are heavy concentrations of black folk. And in each one of those regions, you have historical black colleges, so you have a base from which to draw on. Yet, all of them underperformed. So we can sit here and try to blame, Trump catering to, rural white America. But like I said, just looking at the numbers, Earl, those numbers are shrinking. They're going after a shrinking number, because it's not so much, you know, their populations are going anywhere. It's the fact that the regions that they live in are gradually changing to become suburban regions. It's changing the whole conversation. I'm living right in a county where it's happening right now. And I watched up there in Milwaukee, which was a golden area to study demographics, to look at all those surrounding counties. And you lived there. I lived there for over 30-some years. Vern and I, we saw the transitions in Waukesha and Brown Deer and West Allen.
Right.
And all those surrounding communities where you go in there, and all of a sudden, just 15 years ago, you'd go in there and you wouldn't see hardly see a black folk or a Latino. But now you go in those regions and you see brown faces and black faces everywhere. So what's happening? The other thing is that there's a growing Latino population. Today, they're roughly somewhere in the neighborhood of around 43 million Latinos. How many of them are citizens is to be questioned, but at least hardcore, you're looking at about 41 million. Out of that number of 46 to 47 million, African Americans are 39 and growing. Asian Americans are somewhere in the neighborhood of around 17 to 18 million. That number is growing. And see, with the Palestinians, that was one of the things I was so disappointed with them. They're pissing and moaning and showing up at Kamala Harris rallies, you know, raising a whole lot of hell. You didn't hear them showing up at the Trump rallies.
No.
Raising a whole lot of hell. So they, in my estimation with them, and I have to tell it like it is, they're cowards. If you wanted to raise hell with the Palestinian question, you should have gone to the Trump rally. But you didn't. You went to the Kamala Harris rally, raising a whole lot of hell, and then you didn't show up to vote to give her Michigan. You know, and now you're going to pay the price, because if you think it was bad out of Kamala Harris, you wait until Donald Trump gets through with you.
Oh, Professor Harvey, I wish I had more time. Hey, listen, we're back in the saddle again. I'll be calling you. Again, requesting your vast knowledge and research ability to help us, talk about the future of what's happening in this nation. Thank you very much. Kiss the wife and say hello to the children and grandchildren. I'll talk to you soon. Thank everybody who took the time out to listen. Thank you, Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, and you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madner, Madner on Air with Chris, Greg Bott. All right.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the Trump appointments coming fast and furious out of Washington, D.C., and what's happening closer to home here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.